Hey everyone, welcome to We The People, your favorite weekly Nintendo podcast. My name is Michael Cottrell, and I'm joined here as always by my twin brother player two since the womb, Matthew Cottrell.
That's me.
That was a quick little intro. Let's get into the meat and the bones of it, Matthew. Let's
get into it.
This is a weekly podcast about Nintendo. If you haven't heard, now you've heard.
I couldn't tell it was a weekly Nintendo podcast by you saying, hey, welcome
to
your
covered that part really fast.
Nintendo podcast.
I was talking kind of fast. I even kind of surprised
did
myself.
Did you just interrupt me?
No, I did. And I'm going to interrupt you further to say that this is a show that you can find on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, and whatever podcast FM is.
Really?
Googled myself and found that on there. Don't know how all of our episodes got there, but they got there. And so whatever works for you guys, we've got the audio version, of course, going up on those audio platforms. And then we've got the video version on YouTube. If you'd like an extra visual of what we're talking about, we'll have trailer footage and gameplay footage, stuff like that. So it gives a little context to what we're talking about. But wherever you're tuning in from, welcome. Thank you so much for checking us out. We are a product of the Bento Block. The Bento Block is a channel that I started as podcasts like this. Well, singular. I haven't done a second podcast yet. We've got video essays, video game reviews, all sorts of stuff that kind of branches different genres. So check out the YouTube channel. That would be kind of the holistic view of everything, or thebentoblock.com. And if you really like us and want to support us, you know, do the internet thing, subscribe, hit the like button. If you really like us, donate to the Patreon. Patreon.com/thebentoblock.
Patreon? Tell me more.
Patreon is a monthly crowdfunding service where people such as me can strike out into the internet and say, I want to make my mark here. I want to make stuff that people like. And rather than trying to chase after advertising endorsements and figure out a shady way to monetize it, I can just go straight to the fans and say, hey, if you like this stuff, throw me a buck every month. And if enough people do that, it creates a living and a source of revenue for the business. The business can grow, make better content. It's what the people want.
Are you telling me there's a way that I can fund entertainment that I'm a fan of?
There is. And it's through patreon.com/thebentoblock.
The Bento Block. The Bento Block. The Bento Block.
Boom, 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 boom. You know, that sort of thing. All right, let's move on. So we have told the people where they can find us. We've pimped the Patreon.
Listeners, let me tell you, we got a meaty podcast for you today.
Let's do a light overview of the show. We're going to start out, as always, with a segment called Now Playing, where we go over the games that we've been playing and just some light impressions of them. Then we are going to move to the rundown. We got a big rundown today because we got an Nintendo Direct that dropped yesterday, or by the time you're listening, it's dropped Wednesday. We have got a bonus round that we will have or not have, depending on how much time it takes us to get through the rundown. So that is our show. Thank you so much for joining us. So without any further ado, let's start with our first segment of the show, Now Playing. Matthew, I've been hearing through the grapevine that you've been playing some of that Snake Pass.
You could say I've been slithering around.
Slithering around with it? snaking
slithering
around.
Slithering on the go.
Shoots and then laddering.
Slither and play. That could be their slogan, like switch and play.
Oh, I thought for a second you were saying the house of Harry Potter, Slytherin.
Harry Potter references last week, okay?
Yeah, you had a little drawl to you.
That was like so last week.
You didn't say slithering. The G was kind of silent. You know, we're American. We say
that's true. Slytherin.
We say Slytherin. There's an apostrophe.
You can't use slang for slithering.
You sure can.
Without it being Harry Potter. Wow. Oh,
well, you're going to confuse people.
I'm
that's
aware
all I'm
of
saying.
Something now.
But how's that Snake Pass?
It's awesome, man. Again, we talked about it last week. Like, it really forces you to think like a snake. And I can't think of one game that's really designed in a way where it really makes you think. Like for instance, like we love Donkey Kong Country, but Donkey Kong Country doesn't make you think like an ape or a monkey, you know, or
yeah, pretty typical platformer.
Or Crash Bandicoot doesn't make you think like
a Bandicoot.
Wombat?
He's a Bandicoot.
Oh, that's
Crash
right.
Bandicoot is a Bandicoot.
I thought I heard that Bandicoots weren't real animals one time, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure they are.
Nobody knows. Nobody's actually been to Australia to check.
I guess we need more Animal Planet in our lives. But, no, I mean, it's just, like, I can't really say that about any other game. I mean, like, because even while something will have, like, an animal-like character, even when, you know, it's not an animal character, but it really, like, when it comes to, like, you know, 3D space and, like, either platforming or navigating, I don't think a game really has ever forced you to think a certain way. And so, I mean, I really appreciate it for that. And it's cool because it's, as I'm progressing further through the game, the levels are getting so much larger and more complex. And it's like, man, there's already been some levels that I've spent, like, almost an hour on just because I wanted to collect everything in the level. And so it you know, I think there's only, like, 20 levels in the game, but you can make so much out of it, you know? But I've been having a blast with it.
Yeah, that's cool. And I appreciate that. I think that's what is so transformative about Zelda to me is that they're rethinking traversal. And there's it's not often when people actually question how we do that in games. I mean, there was Mirror's Edge was the last, like, really popular switch up in that whole department. But I do really appreciate the difference that we're getting in Snake Pass. And that's why I recommend it. I mean, it's not like the greatest game. It's not the greatest game in the world. A little expensive for the value proposition, but what? Like just the experience, it being so unique. I mean, it's kind of like 1-2 Switch. I'm, you know,
no,
it's kind of expensive.
$20.
It's better than 1-2 Switch, but I mean that in the sense that a little more expensive than I feel like it should be. You might not be like totally satisfied with the purchase, but I feel like the unique experience is worth it.
No, I disagree, man. The music's great. I mean, it has pretty good graphics, and it's a really fun game. And you're getting 20 levels that honestly can amount to a large amount of gameplay time. So, you know, to me, $20 for that game is nothing. I would have paid 40 for it.
Wow, this guy's a fan of Snake Pass. He likes that noodle. Moving on, have you? You said Snake Pass is the main thing you've been playing.
Yeah, I've taken a little, I guess, hiatus from Zelda, but I started picking it up again just because I want to finish the game at this point. So I'm going to get my camel beast from the desert.
Yeah, I noticed that there's some news saying that the first batch of DLC is going to drop sometime, I think, in May, which is going to have a hard mode and some other stuff. So, excuse me, I'm tired, guys. I want to finish the game before that point, really before Mario Kart comes out too, because I want to kind of clear my palate. There's so many games coming out that I want to dive into, a lot of these smaller indie titles, and I just, man, I'm just stuck. I got my head so far deep in Zelda.
Well, you know? The thing is, I think I've gotten as much out of Zelda as I've wanted to get out of it. So at this point, I just want to complete the game so I can say that, you know, it's finished.
I thought I was there too, but I went on this long rabbit hole today of wanting to just get the first, these few couple shrines that I saw before I went to the desert to go and do that part of the game. And one shrine led to seeing this, like, a little aurora light coming through some mountainside, so I dashed over to get to that. And then from there I saw a different shrine,
misty,
yeah,
there's like fairy animals everywhere and stuff. Yeah, I went there. It's weird though, it went away after a while. I have to figure out what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what it does either, but so go there and I see shrines that I can go conquer. So I find a little bit of those, and then I'm looking for one of the fairies, and I jump over a path and climb up the mountain and find myself in the village of the bird people. And so, you know, that music chimes in, and I'm having a good old time. And I think it's, like, moving me in a different direction of wanting to do that area next, because I've kind of just naturally stumbled into it. Along the way, I found a couple of the memories, and I just love how that game is organically, you know, through just my choices to continue following through the path, taking me through all these unique scenarios and taking me on a path that I'm not having to plan for myself. I'm just following what seems interesting and fun.
Yeah,
I love that game.
And I'm not saying I'm, like, done playing Zelda or anything. I think I'm just to the point where I want to beat the game as far as completed, so that when DLC comes out, I can do that if I choose to, or if I ever pick the game up, I've still got some shrines left to do and everything like that. But I think at this point, it's like I'm ready to play other games for the time being, is what I mean.
Yeah, that's my thing too. And it's just not the type of game that I feel like I could take a break from and then come back to and you know, understand where I'm
right,
at.
To me, it's like Metroid Prime. Like, you just have to play it and make a commitment and then beat it and leave it alone forever. Although Zelda I'll come back to, but I never want to do Metroid Prime again. Those games are so much fun, but they feel tasking to a degree. Don't hate me for saying that, listeners. I mean, I love them, and I, you know, would recommend them, but they're like a one and done for me.
Fair enough. So I've been playing Zelda. That's my update on it. Just kind of jammed into there. I haven't really been playing much of anything else. I went on a little vacation, but mainly just playing Zelda on it. And yeah, just like you, I just want to get done with that. Want to get into that Shovel Knight. Want to get more into that Snake Pass than Mario Kart. Wah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Mario Kart just because I'm a beast. They call me Drift King because I play DK.
Drift King,
boy. No, I'm just kidding.
That's our first Fast and Furious
reference
in this show.
Yeah.
Bow Wow was in that movie. Or was it Bow Wow or was it Romeo?
It was Bow Wow.
Okay, I get them confused.
Bow Wow won beef with Romeo, though.
Why? Because they're the same person?
No. I don't know.
That's why. Probably insensitive of me to say, but they're these like child actors, you know,
Romeo's
doing the rap thing too.
Now he played college basketball.
You know,
still a loser.
hey, yo, spoken from our ivory tower. Oh man, let's move on to the rundown. I got a big old rundown for you, Matthew. There's a lot.
As they say here in the South,
big old. Big ol' rundown. OL apostrophe rundown. There's so much that's happened this week in between the direct and some other things that have happened. Reggie Fils-Aimé pissing me off, man. I'll get to that in a second. But first, check out this thing called the Switch Charge Case. This is an Indiegogo project looking to raise somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000, and met that funding goal, and it is essentially a case that straps onto the back of your Switch. You think of like a Mophie case on your iPhone. Your Switch sits in it, and it's supposed to give it, I think, up to 12 hours of battery life. That got funded. Whether it ever comes to market or not, only God knows. That guy could just take the money and, you know, not
run with it,
not do anything with it. There's very often no repercussions for those folks. So check that out if you're interested. Mario Kart's download size has been revealed, sitting just under 7 gigabytes. So if you haven't bought a micro SDXC card and you want to buy that digitally, you're going to want to rethink your life decisions there.
So if
and
you bought
go and purchase
Zelda
one.
And downloaded it, you might not be able to get Mario Kart?
Oh, well, as I said in my Switch review on our YouTube channel, Zelda's Season Pass says that the Switch memory may not be able to handle all of the Zelda content that's coming out. So Zelda might be the only game that you can download on your system
Where
itself.
Where can I find this review?
As I said.
What is this? YouTube.com/TheBentoBlog?
No, we don't have a URL. We don't have enough subscribers. We talked about this last week, Matthew. We have to get to 100. We've gotten to like 43
that's
or something.
We need your support. We don't even have a URL.
We don't. It's like YX25678. yeah, bish. But go to youtube.com, search the bento block. We're now the top result above the old ladies who make
over,
bento box quilts.
Becky and the quilting crew.
Yeah, whatever their name is. Let's talk about the NES Classic. It's your last chance to buy them, folks. Speaking to you in the America region, Reggie Fils-Aimé gave a statement to, I believe, IGN, saying that they're doing their last round of shipments to retailers. If you want to try and get one, you can't talk to Nintendo. You can't reserve one from the company that manufactures them. You got to check with your retailers, which we all know how convenient that is to reach out to GameStop and ask them for information that's reliable, or reaching out to Best Buy or Target, or it's all just a mess.
Yeah, I wish Nintendo would get better about that.
Yeah, I never knew how lucky I was to be able to buy straight from the manufacturer in some circumstances, for there just to just be a website, a Samsung website, where you can buy the Samsung SD cards and shipped to you. It just took it for granted because Nintendo doesn't do any of that stuff. And when I had pre-purchased my Wii and then GameStop sold it to someone else before I got there to when they sold it to someone else before I got there to pick it up, I was saying, gosh, I'd really just like to buy one straight from Nintendo and skip this whole retailer. Nintendo would make more money for it. They wouldn't have to split some of the profits with the retailer, but, you know, they just don't want to do that, so.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't even have, like, an online retail thing. That's the thing that kills me.
Yeah, like, do it through the Nintendo World Store, and I don't know. Anyway.
Like, and I get that there's not going to be Nintendo World Stores all over the country because it's, you know, a niche market.
It's a world store, not a state store.
But I just, store. But I just think that, you know, like, being able to purchase things off their website seems so logical.
Yep.
Can you purchase anything off their website?
No, it just routes you to, like, Target and Amazon. I thought, like,
someone on the directs, you can they buy, were advertising, like, something you could buy.
You can buy, like, parts. Like, I bought a battery extension to the Wii U gamepad from Nintendo's website.
Like, but, accessories. You know, and
refurbished systems, some stuff like that, but nothing that I want. No NES classics. And I'll tell you, I'm probably never going to touch, see, or taste one of these things because I refuse to pay three times what it retails for to some butthead who wants to sell it for that much and, you know, just ruin my life. You're ruining my life. So I guess I'll just have to buy every game piecemeal for $5 on the Switch.
I had, like, a small period of time where I was interested in getting one, but because of, like, the, you know, lack of supply, I just have completely lost interest. And I've just gotten to a point where I'm like, dude, if I really want to play these games, I'll find it. I'll either boot them up on an old system that we have, or, you know, emulate them something. It's like, there's a million different ways to play these games, and it's like, it's lost that, like, appeal to me. You know, like, why am I going through this trouble to buy a system for games that I've already played 8 million times anyways?
Well, and emulation is something that Nintendo's trying to fight, and they're always, you know, really opposed to it in any form, even if you do own a physical copy of the game. But at the same time, they're making it difficult for you to buy some of these things.
That
so
would,
it,
like,
I mean,
alleviate
just,
that. Yeah, that
yeah, it, it's just sense. Weird. And I don't know if they're... if NES Classic was just a promotional thing, if there was no profit margin on it or not enough of a profit margin to make it, you know, worth the hours and the time that they put into it. But it's just strange because there's, like, you know, $120 between us that could have gone to Nintendo, whatever their split of that was. And it's just, it's strange how they're not stocking stuff that is just such a hot selling item.
Well, you think about it too, like, man, if they did, like, a Super Nintendo Classic, for instance, we love Donkey Kong Country, but, like, man, if that came out and I could play that on there, I would buy that and play it on there instead of my Super Nintendo or, like, an emulator. But...
yeah, I mean, well, and the Super Nintendo is eventually gonna break. We've had it since, like, the early 90s, but, you know, it's all crusty and brown. You know, they had that problem with the coating in the paint, but I'd love to have one of these NES classics, and when my daughter, she's 8 months old now, and she's old enough to kind of comprehend video games, I would love to start her out on the NES so that she can be good at video games. But
you're not playing with no noobs when she gets older.
That's probably not going to happen, because, I don't know. Which, I mean, it's not like Nintendo owes me anything, but it makes me real sad, Matthew.
No, I mean, I think for them, they're just... It's just not smart because they're losing money.
Yep.
Like, I think the lack of supply, like, helps people want to rush in and buy them more, but eventually, it's like Amiibo. That's how Amiibo was originally, and then it just got to a point where nobody cared anymore. Like, now, even for people like you and me who loved them, I'm like, dude, I don't even buy them anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, they, I don't know, it's lost that appeal.
Yeah, we'll talk, speaking of Amiibo, there's a new Amiibo that's coming out on July 28th along with a new 3DS game called Pikmin 3DS.
Hey Pikmin is what it's called.
Oh, that's what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about that. But if you haven't heard, Pikmin on 3DS, Hey Pikmin, is a side-scrolling game. Usually Pikmin is a real-time strategy game, and this is a side-scrolling strategy game, which
like
I think looks pretty cool, honestly. I'm excited to try it out and play it. For the 3DS to have one last hurrah with this, Miitopia, and the new Fire Emblem game have a little more time with that old thing.
I don't think it's the last hurrah. I think I'm convinced at this point after this Direct that the 3DS isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, we'll see.
I just think that they're always going to have that, like, mobile system. Even though the Switch can do that now, it just, you know, who's to say Nintendo's next system, whatever it is, isn't a Switch-like system. You know, so I feel like they're going to keep that around. But with that being said, Pikmin looks really cool. It's like I was just saying, it's like a puzzle platformer, it looks like. But I don't know, it looks really fun, and I like it because it's a different take on Pikmin games, where it's not the same thing. I think the story's the exact same thing. We're all, like, crash-landed on this planet, yeah, but, and there's, I mean, Pikmin, but...
You know, it's like Zelda, where the story is really just there to facilitate the gameplay.
No, I know that. I'm just create a setting. Like, I'm just saying it is the same exact thing that it seems to have happened
yeah.
in every other Pikmin game, but that's all right.
Yeah,
I don't care.
And for, you know, with gameplay-wise and story-wise, just a different perspective on that, and I think that this is a really interesting direction to go. I think any time that you can rethink what the formula of a particular game and flip it on its head, you know, you should explore those things and try them. I mean, there's been some really interesting developments, you know. Think of Mario stuck to side scrolling with every single game until now. We wouldn't have had Mario 64, we wouldn't have had Super Mario Sunshine. Which I wasn't too high on, but
no,
but people were.
It
was a cool game.
Mario game to me.
Wouldn't have Galaxy, wouldn't have 3D World. We wouldn't have a lot of stuff if Mario stuck to its roots. So it's cool to see them just kind of exploring this, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
The amiibo looks pretty cool too. I'm excited to have a Pikmin centric amiibo that's not just kind of, you know, secondary to Captain Olimar. Next item, there's a couple of other RPG games that were announced through the Nintendo Direct, some third parties. If you want to check them out, I would suggest going to Nintendo's YouTube channel where you can see individual trailers for that, or you can watch the entire Direct itself. Not going to throw in a whole lot here, except for that RPG Maker is coming to 3DS. That's been a thing. I don't know if it's the same exact app, but a similar application has always existed on the PC, and that fad is kind of come and gone, so I don't know why it's coming to 3DS. There is Monster Hunter Pokemon Edition, where you ride on your monster and you play a Pokemon-like game with them, and Yo-Kai Watch, which is also kind of a Pokemon thing. 3DS is, I think they, besides Pikmin and some of the Kirby games, every game was an RPG, almost.
I feel like that's, like, to be totally honest, I feel like the 3DS for a long time has only been, like, RPG games or, no, really, just, like, RPG games. Feels like that's all that's, like, come out on them for a while. I feel like in every Direct, all I've seen advertised is, like, platformers or RPGs.
Yeah, which, I mean, the 3DS is a great RPG machine. I mean, you think of a game that you're going to spend 100 or so hours with, you want to be able to get in and get out.
Yeah, I just feel like for me, like, I like RPG games, but I like variety too.
But
that's what was cool about this Direct, though, is that they were focusing on, which two games we haven't talked about yet, but two games that aren't like that at all.
Kirby? What are you talking about?
Well, Switch games, but...
Oh, Switch games, yeah. We'll get to that. Getting ahead of the Direct, man. Getting ahead of the Direct. I want to talk about one RPG that I am excited about, Miitopia. Miitopia is kind of similar to RPG Maker in that you're creating characters based on archetypes, but Miitopia, you are sort of importing your friends into an RPG-like story, which I think is just a phenomenal idea. They're using the Miis, which are hilarious, and the game is more comedic than it is about, you know, getting the 8 crystals to stop the evil dragon that's going to destroy the world with his icy fire breath. It looks incredibly funny. The battle system more so revolves around you building relationships with your friends and you know, playing out these little cutscenes than it does through, like, leveling up and such. And I think that's really cool. I think it's an interesting direction to make. It's kind of like Tomodachi Life mixed with Final Fantasy, and I can't wait to play that. There was a time where that was really only going to come to Japan, and I'm glad that they're localizing it, because I think, although it'll have a small niche following here, especially with, you know, this post-Switch, post-Breath of the Wild world that we live in, but I'm definitely going to pick it up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Utopia.
Yep, that's what Matthew's saying. So, last RPG that we're going to talk about... for the segment. Maybe. I don't know. There's just so much in that, Matthew. It's Fire Emblem. Shadows of Valentia.
Like
Valentia.
The 12th Fire Emblem game I've heard about this year.
Yeah, Fire Emblem, man. To think they were about to cancel it after Awakening, the series was going to be done. And now there's the mobile game that I'm still playing like pretty much every day. There's this one on 3DS. We've got two coming to Switch within the next like calendar year, it looks like. Fire Emblem's having a good time. And this game looks cool. You know, it's a remake of the original NES game that came out just years and years and years ago. They've got a revamped storyline with cutscenes that are hand-drawn and animated. And I think it looks really cool. What they had to announce today, however, is the DLC, which is kind of this weird thing where, you know, it's just, it's like you want a trip, like you booked a trip and you booked the hotel and everything, and then you get a call like a month before and they're like, yeah, it's actually, you're going to have to pay for this. You're going to have to pay for this. You're going to have to pay for this. It's like, you know, me, I just bought a place to live in, and we paid so much stuff up front. Now they're telling me, oh, it's going to be $75 per fob for this. It's going to be $150 here for this to move in. I have to pay to move into my own place. It's ridiculous. But anyway, that is the equivalent of this whole DLC, this whole season pass. They're doing a season pass in Fire Emblem. And if you haven't played Fire Emblem on the 3DS, it's so expensive, like obnoxiously expensive. I think like $2 or $3 per map, and a map might take you 15 minutes to beat.
What?
It could also take you an hour if you're doing like the hardest difficulty, but just I've always been astounded at how expensive Fire Emblem can get on the 3DS. So if the season pass makes that any cheaper, then that's great, but I've always found it to be kind of a ripoff.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't blame them. It's a smart business model, and they probably make way more money off of it, but it's kind of disappointing to see Nintendo taking part in that.
Yeah. Yeah, with Breath of the Wild and with this, it's definitely going to be a trend that sticks around. So speaking of trends that seem to be sticking around, it's Kirby's 25th anniversary, and Nintendo's celebrating in a variety of ways, confined to the 3DS eShop. They came out with a game, Kirby, what is it? Kirby
Suckin' Blast.
Team Kirby Clash Deluxe or something like that. It's a free-to-play game. Free-to-start was the word that they used, which sounds like free-to-play. Like I don't know if they're going to do microtransactions or if they're going to let you play a chunk of the game and then make you pay. But this is going to be a four-player game where you pick four different Kirby archetypes and battle different bosses. Seems to be the gist of what it seems like. Nintendo is exploring these different ways to monetize their games with, you know, Super Mario Run, Fire Emblem Heroes, the season passes in Zelda and games like that, and now this, trying to do microtransactions with this, and like they had that like Rusty Dusty baseball game or whatever on the 3DS before. So it's interesting to see them try and take these different approaches to squeezing all the money out of my pocket when all they need to really do is to provide an NES Classic for me to purchase. I might even buy two of them. I'd give them the money, but not for this stuff.
Is a shame because this Kirby game actually looks like it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like it's kind of repurposing the engine from the last Kirby Ultra Superstar RoboCop, whatever Kirby game there was, and, you know, kind of giving that a multiplayer vibe, which I'm excited to try it out. We're going to download the demo and we'll give you some impressions during now playing next week. The other Kirby game that they announced was Kirby's Blowout Blast, which is a weird name for a title, but you know, they didn't consult me on this, so I can't judge. This is going to come in the summer, a top-down puzzly kind of game where you are sucking in and blowing out all of these baddies at each other, and it's this is going to be an eShop exclusive. Looks unique for a Kirby game, looks unique for a game period. I'm excited to try it out.
No, I am too. And I've always liked Kirby games, and I one thing I do like and actually dislike at the same time about Kirby is that I feel like it's Nintendo's ultimate experimental franchise, yeah, where they always use Kirby to try out new gameplay mechanics. Which I like. I kind of dislike it from the standpoint of, you know, it's almost like they don't value Kirby enough to, like, stick to a, like, proven formula. So it's just kind of like, we'll try this, like, arbitrary idea that may or may not work.
I feel like there's enough of those games nowadays now where they've sort of balanced it out with the last Wii one was really cool, and then there's a couple on the 3DS that were your typical side-scroller. The Wii one, sorry, not Wii U.
Well, the Wii U one was actually really cool, too.
Yeah, it was cool, but another spinoff. Yeah. And I do appreciate that about Kirby, because it's, you know, just using... It's a very clever strategy to bring you new ways to play, to package a character that's very approachable and recognizable like Kirby, and then bring something weird like Canvas Curse or Rainbow Curse, and just have you playing a game that you'd probably otherwise never try out because that doesn't lie within your interest, but you're willing to give it a shot because it's got a character you like in it.
Right, and that's what I kind of dislike about it, is I feel like the only reason it's Kirby is so that they can, like, get some sales from it, but at the same time, I like it because it's paid off in a lot of ways. I mean, even Rainbow Curse in particular is probably one of the all-time games for me where, like, I don't know why, but there was just a Friday where that game came out, and I'm like, it's a Kirby game. I really want a game for the Wii U, and I wanted to play with you because you were getting married pretty soon. And I'm like, man, let me just buy this game. And I was incredibly and pleasantly surprised with that game. Like, that's yeah. a really fun game, and I was not expecting that. And I just remember we were playing it a ton, and that was a, you know, pleasant surprise.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Moving on.
There's another Kirby game coming out near the end of the year, but they haven't announced.
It's going to be a 3DS game.
Multiplayer
action game. I'm interested in that. I love that trend that they started to develop toward the end of the 3DS's life cycle with Federation Force, may you rest in peace, Triforce Heroes, and the like, where they were trying to focus on multiplayer, even at the expense of the Metroid.
I just wish that there was a Kirby Switch game in the works. That would be really interesting.
I'm sure there will be when the 3DS dies. You and I disagree on that, but you know, well, that's for a bonus round for another time. We'll argue about that. HAL Laboratory is also developing the last entry in the Box Boy title, Box Boy franchise. Bye Bye Box Boy is coming. Let me see. This is a side-scrolling puzzle platformer launched on Wednesday when the direct aired, and it looks like I've always wanted to try Box Boy. I've always slept on it and haven't gotten the chance to mess around with it, but maybe today is the day. We don't get the cool amiibo that was Japan exclusive. I would have gotten a Box Boy amiibo, Matthew. But alas, here I am, just having a digital version of Box Boy.
Yeah, I've always liked what HAL Laboratories has done. They've always made really fun games.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm excited for that. So that concludes all the 3DS stuff that we've got going on. 3DS specific, anyway. We've got some other amiibo announcements. There's three more Links coming. We've got Majora's Mask Link, Twilight Princess Link, and Skyward Sword Link. This last quarter has been a little Link heavy. Or last couple quarters, we had the Zelda line where you had 8-bit Link, Ocarina of Time Link, Wind Waker Link, and something else. And then we've got Breath of the Wild ones, which comes with Link on a horse, Link shooting an arrow, and now we've got three more Links. It's a little Link heavy. I think there's more Link amiibos than there are Mario amiibos. But I believe the reason for this is not just because of all the recent Zelda releases and the hype around Breath of the Wild. I think it's because Link was for a long time, the best-selling amiibo in America, which America was, the biggest market for amiibos. We love our stuff here in America. If you're watching from somewhere else, we like our stuff. We never throw it away. So I think that's really interesting. I kind of want all of them, but like you said before, I'm getting that same feeling of exhaustion from all the amiibo that are out, and I just, at some point, I won't have space for them, and what am I going to do, buy a storage unit and then stock amiibo in it for $100 a month? It's ridiculous. I live in a condo, guys.
I think the reason the interest in amiibo went away for me was because it got so difficult to find that by the time you actually found it, you stopped caring. Now, I think what would have, like, helped me preserve my interest is if amiibo functionality was actually worth it, because you think you want to collect these things so bad, but then you can't find it, and then the collection, like, it's kind of like collecting, like, how it was Yu-Gi-Oh cards. We thought you wanted it so bad, and once you took about a week off of eBay, you're like, you know, I don't really care about having this thing in my possession anymore. So the collection phase usually wears off, and that's like a come-and-go type of thing. Now, again, amiibo functionality, if it was much better, it would have helped me want to, like, you know, keep fooling around with that. But now, the thing that interests me with these links is that they have give you cool Breath of the Wild function. Now you get like original gear from those games. So like you get the Twilight Princess outfit with the Twilight Princess Link. You get a Skyward Sword outfit from the Skyward Sword Link, and I'm like, that's awesome. There's an
Ocarina, it could be fun with for the hard playthrough.
Time one too.
I'll tell you what, Matthew, you get one of them, and I'll get another one. And then we'll go splitsies on the third one. I would really like to have that. I you know, some of these characters are you know, just kind of special to me. I've grown up playing Majora's Mask. I played the crap out of Twilight Princess, and I played through Skyward Sword twice. And you know, honestly, the character means a lot to me, and it might be a cool thing, you know, 10 years from now to look back on it, all the dust on it, it's just the ancient artifacts of Nintendo, and Nintendo at that point will be bought out by Disney and make iPhone games.
As long as the functionality is cool, like, I think they still have, like, dude, I would buy so many Amiibo if, like, yeah, they had better functionality.
Yeah, I want to at some point do a feature on that on YouTube, just showcasing different uses of Amiibo, because there aren't very many good ones, but the ones that are good are incredible. Like Fire Emblem Fates lets you scan other Fire Emblem characters and actually recruit them for battle, and that's a special thing in Fire Emblem to get some of these characters that otherwise wouldn't mix in the same game, like Marth and Robin and so on and so forth. That was an incredible use of them, and most of the time it's like it's a costume.
Yeah.
Or Star Fox is like, you get to ride a black R-Wing now. Like, okay, guys. I also thought Wolf Link was pretty good in Twilight Princess. It unlocks the Cave of Trials, and then you can save how many hearts you had at the end of the trials to the Wolf Link amiibo, bring that Wolf Link amiibo into Breath of the Wild, and that's how many hearts that the Wolf Link will have.
Wasn't there supposed to be that you're supposed to get, like, a Wolf Link from the Wolf Link amiibo?
Like in Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, I heard. Yeah. I thought there was like a.
Yeah, he like follows you around the map. It's really cool. Yeah,
but the thing is, the reason I mentioned that is I heard something, and I didn't actually validate the article, but I heard that they patched that out.
I don't think so. I haven't done it lately because.
I was reading something that said they literally patched the wolf out, but from Breath of the Wild, but that's why I was like wondering what was up with that, but I guess we'll have to come back to that.
I wouldn't think that's a reality, but I'll have to test that when I get home. Let's move on. We've got arms details. This was the part of the direct where I kind of started to snooze a little bit, where it lost its momentum. We were going from trailer to release date to features to trailer, and here we are just kind of sitting on the pot while this talking hand tells us about, you know, mixing our gloves and whatnot in arms. Like, there was some interesting information buried in that.
Sure, but it was one of those things that it tried to convey this message of being so, what should I say, self-aware or non-self-aware, I guess, in this case, where it's like making these little jokes or like hinting at, like, do you think that blah, 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 and then that's the way it's describing the feature to. It's like, man, I would so much rather just have like somebody who's working on the game just be like, hey, you can do this. It's like, Nintendo,
yeah,
cut it out with, yeah, the goofy kitty.
Well,
crap.
even like, kids, like, I mean, I used to be a kid. I know, like, I'm not into, you know,
that's the thing is, kids
second
don't
rate, terrible productions of comedy making arm puns.
No,
which,
I mean,
puns can be funny, but they weren't.
Like, when I hear little
time.
Kids and they think Nintendo's lame, and then they talk about stuff like that, it hurts my heart because I'm like, man, yeah, I don't know who they're appealing to because nobody thinks this is funny or it's cool.
Yeah,
it's just I just found it to where I'm watching them talk about arms. And I'm like, I really don't care because they're almost saying nothing. And then every once in a while, you get like a tidbit of like actual gameplay information. But because it's buried under so much like crap of like trying to be funny in how it delivers this message, that I found myself not even realizing what it was trying to tell me.
Yep.
But arms is one of those games, man. I've gone back and forth with so much. It went from being not looking fun at all to, for a while, I had like a slight interest in where I'm like, this could be a cool game, to now like seeing it played more. It just looks like one of those games that will get really boring really fast, where you'll play it, it'll be this cool new thing, like, dude, I'm like, and like, you know, that's how I'm playing, but it just seems so shallow. Like, it seems like it's dodge punch, and all the punches are literally the same thing. It's not like there's different kinds. You just aim the direction of your punch, but But even the strategy of that game, when you see, when I saw some Nintendo people demoing it, people knew how to play, it seemed like the strategy is just wait for somebody to attack, dodge, and then punch, and that's how you actually end up hitting somebody.
Yeah, because the punching moves really slowly, and what I've seen is, like, you kind of snake it around and predict where someone is going to dodge or going to move and try and catch them there. I mean, some of the different things that you could do through mixing it is interesting. You know, they had Min Min, which I don't know is offensive or not, an Asian girl with ramen noodles for arms and a dragon for another arm. But I mean, her having like a range attack and a close range on the right, a long range on the left, kind of an interesting concept. And I think that mixing those with the particular abilities of each character could be something that really lends itself to the depth of the game. And they were trying to kind of reach out to that hardcore player by calling out some of these features and really just addressing them directly. I hope it does addressing them directly. The direct. So they were doing that and trying to, you know, make this into something that could be a competitive game to
I hope it ends up being that. I just, from what I've seen, it just looks like it could be pretty. It reminds me of Pokken Tournament, where it looks like it has potential, and then you play it, and it's just a really shallow fighting game.
Yeah, I don't have high hopes for it. It looks incredibly bland, incredibly shallow, but it is a unique and cool idea. So I hope the best for it. And we need more new IP.
And that's what I was going to say. It's actually a cool thing, but you know what some people are hoping for is like, man, they totally could have made like a Punch-Out game with this formula. But then they're like, what if they just make Little Mac as like a DLC and he has stretchy arms? And I'm like, that could actually work. It might look a little weird, but maybe there's a reason why.
Like a Little Mac costume or something like that.
Yeah.
The arms is going to come out on June 16th, they had one more announcement saying that there would be a 2v2 mode. That sounds interesting.
And that's the part of the game where I'm like, okay, now I'm like really interested, because I feel like that could be really cool.
That could be really cool.
Like 2-on-2, and I always wanted a fighting game with that kind of perspective to, like, I remember thinking about like even Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi, and I'm like, that could totally be like a 4-player fighting game.
If
it was done correctly.
They did one like that, but I'm not sure how it turned out. You never know with like Dragon Ball Z games. Game.
Yeah, I know. It's like mostly misses and a few hits every now and then. But that was the part where I'm like, okay, this could be like really cool just to get like 4 people. Although the only annoying part with that is you need 4 pairs of Joy-Cons. So if you are the only one with the Switch and you want to play with your family, it's like, all right, so you got to spend like almost $300 worth of accessories.
Yeah, those Joy-Cons
really
are not cheap.
But
if you want to buy some new Joy-Cons on that June 16th release date, you'll get to get some hideous neon yellow traffic cone looking Joy-Con.
Did I just segue you?
You did segue
me.
That was like a
Kobe to Shaq moment.
Yep, and now you're explaining it, so now it's not. It's just kind of an explanation. But anyway, you can pick up these Joy-Con on that launch day. They look absolutely
kind of
awful
like
to me.
Donkey Kong,
I wish they would do something stylish with some of the stuff. You know how like they had the Famicom colored 3DS in Japan? Like, give me one of those with the colored buttons, or like the color scheme of the Super Nintendo. Give me one with the colored buttons of the GameCube and the second stick being yellow. Give me some stuff like that. I don't need a neon yellow plastic thing. I mean, I guess that'd be good for if I was prone to losing it or putting it in couch cushions, but
yeah,
apart from that, it's just kind of ugly.
Like awful color choices for some reason.
Yep. Let's talk about the next game we've got here. One other thing about Joy-Con, they're also going to release a Joy-Con battery extension. I've never really ran out of batteries on the Joy-Con, and maybe that's just because I have a charge dock for the charging controller.
I've almost run out of battery for them, but it's only been if I played my system in a couple days in a row and didn't put the Joy-Cons back in the dock.
I mean, it makes sense with the release of ARMS, because you can't put that in the charging controller dock. So, you know, makes sense. Pick that up if you need it. We
or,
don't know price
money.
Point yet. But yeah, it's good. Yeah, they're really raking it in with the accessories. You know, the NES Classic is a great accessory too for my entertainment system. But you messed up, Reggie. You messed up, Carl. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. We got more characters, battle mode, tournaments. Not much new here. It looks exactly the same, actually.
Tournament's though I'm excited about because, like I said, tournaments. I mean, and not to toot my own horn, but I got, like, really, really good at the game. He's and I'm like, man, I might want to... What?
You can hear him tooting it right now. But Matthew is really good at Mario Kart. I can attest to this because I'm distinctly okay. I'm distinctly okay.
If you just didn't play with those, like, giant tires on the ATVs.
I got to tell you guys, I play with Bowser, and I got to have giant tires because he's Bowser. He's not, you know, he's not Baby Mario or someone who would be using regular-sized tires. He's Bowser. So he's got to. But I'm going to try out Baby Bowser. I'm excited for Baby Bowser to be in the game because he's... Or Bowser Jr. I don't know which iteration of Bowser really it is.
They had shortcomings. Is there's just
no Diddy Kong.
That's a character that should be in. Come
no
on,
Donkey
man.
Kong Jr.
I know. There's no Donkey Kong love.
No Birdo.
Well, the thing is, what I'm saying is just in general, there's like hardly, there's no new tracks. There's not really any new interesting characters except for Baby Bowser and... You know, there's battle mode, which battle mode is like cool and I'm glad it's there, but I was never the hugest battle mode guy.
I wasn't either, but I'm excited about the Piranha mode.
I am too, but I just, it's, for me, it's not normally enough to justify spending another $60, but I'm going to get it just because, you know, all of our friends are going to have it too, and it'll be fun to play together, maybe get into some tournaments, but it is kind of disappointing that I'm like, man, you could have like thrown in like even like one new cup or you know, a couple interesting characters like
Sumpton.
Diddy Kong's the like. Why not have Diddy Kong, man? Diddy Kong's a perfect
life's
character
not
for
fair,
Mario
man.
Kart.
They have the NES Classic. It's selling great, and they just cut him off.
Just think,
life's not fair.
We could have been Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong just racing courses.
We could have been like the Mario Kart Wii days where you were DK, I was Diddy, and old David Smith was Funky.
Oh, we used to do Double Dash. We used to do Double Dash, too, and we would just have the DK Diddy combo, and it was just giant banana central.
Do you remember how terrible...
Item. That was the best item for us, because...
always being in first place.
Horn tuning again, but yeah, we're always in first place, so we just get these giant bananas that block everything.
Side note, do you remember how terrible Donkey Kong's voice was in the Wii? And it might actually be in Mario Kart 8, too.
It is, but it's not nearly as bad. He doesn't...
Wow!
Yeah, it's not that. It's more like you.
Yeah, anyway, it's a new Donkey Kong. I miss the old Donkey Kong who was just a guy. He had a rap song and a coconut gun, you know?
No, I like the way he sounded like in Donkey Kong Country. Where it's
that's
just,
true. That's probably the best one, but, you know.
What does he sound like in Donkey Kong Country, actually?
It just sounds like
what you'd expect an ape. Or even in Smash, where he just sounds like a...
Sounds like a lion in Smash.
Beast. Yeah, but that's okay. He just sounds beastly, you know? I don't know. But anyways, what do we have next? Splatoon 2?
Street Fighter 2 is getting redone. I thought it was interesting. They're doing a revamp of the graphics and adding two characters, which they've never done before.
Yeah, what was it? Evil Ryu and Violent
Ken? I mean,
Ken.
It's, you know, it's a light change. If they did anything more than
people would revolt
in the streets.
The best part was when they try to, like, tell you why they're cool characters. Because this Ken is, like, a Ken that, like, is violent. Because the other Ken's not violent. He's just a... effing street fighter.
He's beating up dudes in the streets, punching cars until
fighter,
they explode.
But he's not violent.
Yeah. Well.
Come on, man.
Well, that's that.
Who's that? Capcom?
I like the. But I like how they have a mode where you can combo easier, and they have a mode where you can play co-op and share an HP bar.
That's really
you know,
cool.
just kind of interesting ways to repackage that and sell it to you again.
Yeah.
Which you know I'm okay with.
Yeah,
I haven't bought Street Fighter until the since the Super
this
Nintendo
might be
version.
The first Street Fighter game that I've bought in a long time.
That's coming out May 26th. If you're interested, we've got Minecraft coming out. This is the Minecraft version that was delivered on the Wii U with the Mario skin pack that you can get on it. We've got. Up to 8 players online, 4 players local. We've got that Mario stuff is included in the purchase price, which I don't think we have yet. They didn't give it in the direct. That's coming out on the 11th. Can't wait. Definitely going to buy it this time. Slept on it during the Wii U era, and I think that game is so at home on the Switch with just the portability of it and the nature of Minecraft. I am incredibly excited to play that with somebody.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting that too. Oh, yeah. I could see myself passing on it too, but we'll see.
Don't pass on it, Matthew.
Don't switch.
Do you want to be playing Minecraft with the Captain Toad skin? Yeah, you do. With a Waluigi skin. That's nice.
Waluigi.
Sonic Forces was briefly mentioned, as well as Sonic Mania. Sonic Mania, nothing new there. It's coming in the summer. Sonic Forces coming in holiday 2017. We saw a brief glimpse in the classic Sonic gameplay, the side-scrolling with the better designed hedgehog instead of this cool one who eats chili dog. Not the chili dog one. This is the one who goes to Quick Trip and orders a Ragin' Bean Burrito and smokes pot. You know, that Sonic. I don't like that one. They said in this trailer, this is it's not really news. It's just something I want to point out as a reformed Sonic fan. They're adding a new ally character, which sounds like a new Sonic character, which is exactly what Sonic does not need and hasn't needed since Sonic 3, is another character. I wonder what kind of anthropomorphic butthead they're going to come up with this time.
That's what you kept talking, but I was saying that Sonic Forces almost forced me out of that direct, because I was just like, you know what's funny is that game looked really cool to me, and I was excited because I'm like, the only Sonic game I've liked in years was Generations. I'm like, okay, they're going back to the Generations formula, but just like hearing them like narrate about it, like, yeah, you can play as Sonic, and like, I don't know. It just totally took me out of it. I was like, you know, I don't think I'm excited about this game anymore. I mean, I hope it's cool, but I kind of...
I don't think it's going to be. I've been disappointed too many times, so I don't expect anything of it. Sonic Mania sounds cool, but, you know, also not expecting much there. Monopoly's coming to the Switch. The Joy-Con, you can kind of shake them with the HD rumble, and it feels like dice, and you roll them. That's really the only interesting thing about that. Moving on, Rayman Legends is getting a definitive edition. According to the direct, the only thing that this adds is a solo mode to the soccer minigame. So, definitive is a strong word for this. That being said, Rayman Legends is a great game. If you missed it on the Wii U or last generation on every other console it released on, definitely give that a try. Yeah, it's a great game.
I want to pick it up again just because I like supporting Rayman, because I feel like Ubisoft's been going away from Rayman. And I don't think Legends sold all that well, but I'm not 100% sure about that. But I mean, it's such a phenomenal game. Like, that's a game I would not mind playing through a few more times. And I definitely want to play through it again, especially with it being new again. You know, a bunch of our friends may end up picking it up, so then you can get big co-op, you know, gang going.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great game. I wouldn't mind playing through it again, but I just hate how Ubisoft, you know, they kind of market things in a dumb way. But that's Ubisoft. Let them be them in San Francisco and, you know, eating their hot dogs.
They're vegan
dogs.
Sell as much as they wanted to, and then they're like...
And they'll be gone. They'll be gone after... We'll never get another Ubisoft game after this.
Disloyal.
Except for that Rabbids game that might come out.
Mario Rabbids mix. I hope that's not a thing. It sounds really dumb.
It'd be cool. We'll see what happens.
Hopefully.
Namco Museum is coming out. Looks like a kind of... Namco? Namfung is a great place to get pho. The noodles, the Vietnamese noodles. But Namco Museum is kind of like that... What was that? NES Remix? Where... They're not necessarily altering the original code, though you can play in a different perspective that isn't in portrait mode like the arcade cabinets were. They have a collection of games like, you know, your Pac-Man, your Galaga, so on and so forth, and wrapping that up into a Switch package sounds great. I love... classic games are best enjoyed on the Switch, where they're portable, you can put them on the TV screen, there is a huge advocacy for multiplayer and for co-op. Very welcome and at home there. Do you have anything to add to that?
Not really.
But you know what you could add to your home? Some docks. For some sort of limited time, Nintendo sounded like very tepid when explaining this. On May 19th, they're going to start selling some extra docks that you can have. So if you are... like me and have six TVs in your home. I'm just kidding. I, I have one. If you are one of those people with six TVs in your home and you're just like, oh, I don't want to unplug my Switch and bring it to my other TV and then my other TV, you can buy extra docks.
I thought you could always buy replacement docks, though.
Replacement docks, not extra docks. This will be extra docks. But it sounds like it'll be limited, so if you're interested, mark May 19th on your calendar, and if the NES Classic is any indication, you're going to be paying six times what it's worth if you don't get it fast. So get it fast if you want it. We've got a final game here, Matthew. And then we're done with this rundown here. And we'll wrap up with the podcast as well. It's been almost an hour. Splatoon 2 is coming out. I don't know if you heard. It's coming in the summer because that's when wacky squid, inked squirting people come out. It's very Nickelodeon-esque kind of games for me. It reminds really me of those Nickelodeon days. You know, you get what they call it? Slime Time Live. You're just sliming everybody. So they announced a new mode with Splatoon 2.
Slime Time Live should have been is where you just take ink guns and shoot slime at.
We've got that now through Splatoon. We've got a new mode coming out on this called Salmon Run, which sounded really cool until I realized it was just a horde mode. But even with it just being a horde mode, it sounds like a pretty interesting concept. Waves of enemies will come. That's pretty typical. You are annihilating them, getting some special eggs, and then bringing that to the central part of the base to load them back in. It's kind of reminiscent of what Call of Duty has been doing for years with their zombies minigame, where it's just such a popular game within a game where a lot of people will have that as their favorite part of the latest Call of Duty. But this is sort of in the same line, and I'm all for more modes for that, because from what I heard from the first one, the campaign was pretty short, and then after that you were pretty much doing online rank battles or you were just sucking your thumb changing outfits in Squid Town. Speaking of changing outfits, you've got new amiibo here, and if you scan them into the game, you can get some new gear, some customizable outfits, and you can take pics with your amiibo friends. The funny thing about the amiibo line is that they're exactly like the amiibo line that they did for the Wii U. They've got a squid boy, a squid girl, and a squid.
Yeah.
But this time it's a purple squid instead of a green squid.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, that horde mode actually looks really cool, though, man. I mean, it reminds me of Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Left 4 Dead is, although in Left 4 Dead, you're always progressing through a level, whereas this, you're just on an island. But I'm like, I hope they have other maps besides just that one, or even, like, larger areas. But it was cool because it's just one of those, like, I love when it's a cooperative, like, we kind of just need to stay alive.
Yeah. You
know, if Splatoon was, like, a scary game, it would almost be survival horror.
Yeah, and I mean, Splatoon can be kind of scary. The way that you die from, like, being rolled with the paint roller, it's just you just pop out of the world. But when you die in this game, you can get shot by your allies to get healed and get back in the game. So I think it sounds really cool. I can't wait to try out Splatoon 2. Splatoon 2 is coming on the 21st of July. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is your rundown. And like I said, that's not a comprehensive look at the Nintendo Direct. That's just the points that we saw as more relevant, worth discussion. If you would like to know more about that, check out youtube.com/whatever Nintendo's channel is. They have enough subscribers to have a URL. But they have extra trailers there, extra information. But for all the news that you care about, stay tuned to We the People, posting every week. We would love to hear your feedback, whether that's through an iTunes review, the comments section of YouTube, or on our website, thebentoblock.com/podcasts. Please write into the show with your questions, concerns, and suggestions. We would love to make this a bigger and better thing for you. Remember, this is a product of the Bento Block. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Check out our website. Support the Patreon. Really hope to make this a bigger and better thing eventually. I want to employ people. I want to make this a big, big thing. I want to cover all the games. I want to have events. You know, all the shebang, all the kit and caboodle, Matthew.
Kablam.
Kablam. What was that Shaq movie?
No,
or was it Genie?
No, Kazam is what you're thinking of with Shaq.
I'm thinking Kazam.
Yeah, Kablam was a cartoon thing on Nickelodeon.
Well,
thinking with the Splatoon.
Whatever word starting in the cuss syllable, we got it for
you. Can you dig it?
And so we're so thankful for you for sticking it out with us. We'll talk to you guys next week.